This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat.
They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Hour three, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app.
Hello.
We're going to be sniffing our smelling salts in an hour. You guys ready? You need a little pick-me-up?
I don't. I'm pretty good.
You feeling okay this morning?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty wired.
I'm in.
Now, the only thing that we got to figure out with these things, I haven't opened the package yet. It says that you need to activate before use.
Yeah, it's like a snap situation.
Okay, we snap them?
Yeah.
Okay, is that how it rolls?
Okay.
So in 1 hour, it won't be on YouTube because we're not on YouTube today for some reason, so you won't be able to see the facial reactions, but you'll be able to hear our reactions?
I want to say I was in 9th or 10th grade. I was a young high schooler, I want to say, when I first smelled a smelling salt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it kind of jacks you up. I don't remember it sending me over the moon. I remember,
like, in terms of like an energy boost, it just kind of like, whoa, you clear your sinuses a little bit and then you're okay.
Yeah. Like, I didn't probably smell it long enough. It was like got close and I was like, oh, whoa, and it walked away.
It's more like if you dip into cocktail sauce and there's a little more horseradish than you were expecting.
Yeah, a little bit more spicy than you were, you know.
Dude.
Woo!
I wish I liked shrimp because I love cocktail sauce.
Shrimps and cocktail sauce are a dynamite combination.
Shrimp cocktail is like,
I could eat. Dude, if you put like a platter of 800 shrimp in front of me, I feel like I could eat that entire thing.
One of those like half plastic containers of shrimp.
How many come in the big plastic one? That like all the
full
shrimp,
circle or
the full
circle?
I want the full circle. How many come
I
in that?
I did this last night. We'll do it just to have, because having just shrimp available to either throw in a salad or something like that.
I could eat shrimp every day.
So yeah, you get the 2 pound bag at Costco that's frozen. And I just did that up last night. So we got it kind of for the week for lunches.
Now you're set.
That'll be gone probably by Thursday.
I'm trying to see. It says,
I feel like I could eat one of those entire trays to myself.
It says medium 15 to 18.
I feel like it's more than
that.
I feel
too.
Like we're shortchanging the shrimp tray a little bit.
Oh, no. It's 41 to 50.
41 to 50?
Yeah.
Is that the next food challenge I got to do? Is can I eat
Please
an entire
don't.
Tray
no, dude,
of
don't
shrimp?
Don't do that at 8 a.m.
Live on the air. I got the 9 a.m. hour. Now it's later in the day.
If you wanted a contest, that would be Dirt and I going
oh,
at it.
Oh, me and you shrimp challenge?
Shrimp cocktail going on.
Now, I do like seafood sauces. I just don't like seafood. I love tartar sauce.
Have you ever tried a seafood soup? Like a bouillabaisse?
Chipino?
I've had clam chowder.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, clams
I hate
are
clam chowder.
No, like
so
shrimp.
Gross.
Shrimp or lobster.
You need a different kind. That's like too thick. That's like you got to be in the mood for clam chowder. Like
you
I was at the
like
coast this weekend.
Based
if
soup.
You're recoiling at shrimp or lobster, then yeah, there's a seafood thing because those are the least fishy. At least from my perspective.
Well, when we go crabbing,
crab
I will
is
partake in crab. Now, I'll tell you why.
Because it's swimming in melted butter?
But lime juice and pepper. Like, I can't really taste the fishiness because I'm more like the lime juice pepper combo than I do the butter. But I'll partake in that. I'll take shots.
Oyster shooters?
I'll do an oyster shooter.
Do an oyster shooter.
I hate it.
Pretty briny.
disgusting.
God, yeah. I love oysters.
But it's a fun thing to do. You know, it's like an alcohol shot.
When in Rome.
Woo! Yeah. When kinda, in Rome. Yeah. Put a little hot sauce on it, some lemon juice.
You're feeling good.
I just... seafood, man. I wish I liked it.
You just haven't had my salmon, man. Wait till you try my salmon. Let's get to, hey, we're a couple weeks away from college football returning. You guys all ready to go? 2 weeks away
Two
till
weeks.
Week zero.
55 minutes from the AP preseason poll getting dropped.
Where are the Ducks going to be?
9 a.m. Find out. 1 hour.
How many receiving votes will the Beavs have?
I got a feeling nobody's going to give us a chance this year. We might not even be in the top 25. We'll have to wait and see. Coming out 9 a.m. Will anybody give Oregon a chance?
Jim thinks Penn State's going to be number one.
I think she's right.
I think she's right, too. Based
well,
on
Texas?
I mean, based
over
on
Texas?
What we should be voting on in terms of, like, we'll known quantity returning talent, like, Penn State should be number one.
Should they?
We'll see what the distribution like, of voters is.
I mean, Drew Aller has played more than Arch Manning.
100%.
I'm not saying that Penn State will be the number one team in the country. I'm saying based on what the criteria should be, what do we know about these teams?
People think Texas's defense is going to be the best in the SARC.
That's awesome.
Year.
That's great. Is Arch Manning going to be good?
Probably he's a Manning.
I would tend to agree with you, but that's also a guess, is it not?
Yeah.
Like if it's
a guess.
All
I mean,
of it's a guess.
Being honest.
No, if I were an AP voter, I think a very rational thing to do would be at Penn State 1, Clemson 2, based on returning talent and quarterback play that you know. You would throw Texas 3, that's fine, but that to me is the way the poll should look going into the start of the year.
It kind of depends on the distribution of riders and how many are from the SEC.
Oh, we'll get the full breakdown. You get that in the AP every week. They get the breakdown of who voted for who and what team showed up where.
Who's Greg McElroy's number one preseason? Because everybody has a preseason
Alabama.
Poll now.
Oh, sorry.
Probably Alabama.
Alabama's not. Alabama's 5.
Wow, the disrespect.
Who's his number one?
Maybe they should beat Vanderbilt before they get into the top 4.
In fact, who's his top 3?
Greg McElroy's top 3.
I love. We need to make a Dirt and Sprague cartoon graphic where we do our top 25.
So who can make that graphic for me for the Dirty Poll? The Dirty Poll's got to start like next week.
It's got to be you. Wearing like a football G-string sliding down a pole.
Let's find
the Dirty Pole top 25 preseason.
We need to dig up the old
with your cartoon graphic from our beer
you want
bottle
that one?
Day.
Yeah. I was going to say we should find the graphic of me playing golf in a Tennessee cutoff T-shirt with smoking a cigar.
I think I still have that photo.
That should be the photo for the Dirty Pole.
Put it into a cartoon version.
That should be the Dirty Pole right there, and then the graphic with the teams. Find that photo. Send
Let's
it to somebody.
Find that photo.
We got a cartoon guy on our staff, right? There's somebody that does cartoon drawings.
Sure, of course.
You know, we got all those people employed currently. I'm going to say his top three:
Georgia,
Texas, Clemson.
You got one team in that right.
Only one team,
not Georgia. His number one team is Clemson.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
Number two is Penn State.
Not mad at that.
Number three, Notre Dame.
That's an interesting one.
Texas, Bama, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Oregon, Miami.
Okay. Nobody's giving us a chance. Let's go to Corvallis, where they had their first scrimmage this weekend, getting ready for the start of the year. Trent Bray, your guy, Trent Bray.
Yeah.
Did a press conference after their opening scrimmage.
Yep.
Had a couple of different things here. Here's his main takeaways from scrimmage number one.
It was good. We got a lot of guys' reps, especially later in the scrimmage. Got a lot of young guys, new guys, a ton of reps. See what they can do, who can help us, who can't. So I thought it was great from that perspective. Saw plays being made on both sides of the ball. Malik had some really nice throws. Eddie had a great catch in the end zone. Things we need to see on game day, so it was great.
So great start to scrimmage number one. How about
always
that
is.
Line of scrimmage play? That was a concern for them last year, getting pressure on the quarterback, at times protecting up front. Here is Bray on his offensive and defensive lines.
I think we applied some pressure, especially when we needed to. Executed the movement pretty well for the most part. And that's what you got to do. When you move, it's got to be something that helps you and attacks the offense. And that's really discipline in your aiming points and making sure. Because just like we talk about on offense, you got to make teams that move be a liability for them. So it's really we got to make sure we're on point. And I thought they were for the most part today.
I thought that was a big takeaway from what I saw in the reporting was that it sounded like the offensive line struggled.
Yes. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
You know,
that's the beauty
of training
camp, is it not?
Also, I didn't see it, right? But, like, all the reporting is that the offensive line had a tough day.
Does that mean your defensive line is good or your offensive line is ass or some combination in between?
Well, they're an interesting group, this team, because I'm still learning, like, every week I'm still learning names, right, and positional battles, and we'll get depth charts pretty soon, and all that stuff is going to work itself out. They've got a lot of experience, whether that be from the portal or just redshirting guys or guys that are in their junior, senior years. Like, there's a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a good thing. He's the coach of the defense this year, and he was a good coach when he was the coordinator.
Yep.
I think if we're being honest in a trust tree, you can't tell yet, but also I think everybody would prefer to hear that their offensive line did well. Landing had a little bit of this, right? The defense won.
Oh, we'll get to them, yeah, because that elicits all sorts of reactions when you say one side of the ball won or looked better.
And so, like, I'm not mad the defensive had a good day. Like, yeah, I want the defensive line to be good. They haven't been a good group in years.
You could argue maybe it's the biggest missing ingredient they have is having a pass rush to make them take the next step as a win-loss team this year.
I think you could make that argument going back to Jonathan's era. Like, that was their thing they always missed. They didn't have elite pass rush. They were the bottom worst team in pass rush efficiency last year in college football, point blank.
Not good.
But I also don't want to hear that the offensive line struggled mightily. So, like, it's early. We've got 2 weeks. I'm not going to overreact. It's just, I think people, football fans, would prefer to know the offensive line was stout.
Just knowing up front, you feel good about your group, who's there, how it's going to hold up as the season goes on.
I mean, you got some studs down in Eugene, but do you want to hear that,
no,
like,
you never
your offensive line got wrecked?
It's such a weird balance. This is why talking about fall camp is hilarious, is that, you know, and each day, and I think coaches have to be very careful with this when they come out and say one side of the ball won, because it doesn't necessarily mean that the other side of the ball struggled. It could have just been a really good day for the practice on your defensive line, where they just had a nice day. Doesn't mean your offensive line is bad, doesn't mean it's concern, but if you come out and say one side of the ball won over
right,
the other,
right,
that's the reaction of, okay, well, our defense is going to be good, but does that mean our offense is terrible? Is Malik Murphy going to be running for his life? Are we going to have a run game this year? Your mind starts to go down these different rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Here is one more from Bray, talking about the defense. They were really impressed with the way similar themes in Corvallis and Eugene this weekend. Here is Bray on his linebackers.
I feel really good. I probably feel as good about this position as I did in probably 22 with the depth at that position and the talent at that position. Dexter's had an unbelievable camp. And then Ray's come in and done a great job. And then Aiden and Micaiah have played really well. And then, you know, Cord's done a lot of good things as well. And then so they're kind of battling for who's that next guy in. And that's why they got a ton of reps today where Dexter and Ray didn't get as many. Kind of who's that next guy in. And they're still competing to take, you know, that other starting spot. So constant competition, but I feel good about that position.
Loves the competition. He's talking about Dexter Foster, who is a sophomore, Central Catholic kid, local kid. Rayshon Davis is a transfer from USC. He's a guy that you forget some names throughout the course of the offseason. You're like, oh, that's right. I remember watching him play at USC, and you forget that he transferred up. So he feels good about the depth that they have at linebacker. And I think, to me, it's one of the bigger questions for them in fall camp is, I know that the concern there is now for the offensive line because they had a bad opening scrimmage.
Sure.
I feel like there's just a trustworthiness there for Oregon State and their offensive line and what they've been the last handful of years. Maybe this year is different. But their defense needed to take another step. There were times last year where they just were Swiss cheese, couldn't stop the run, got beat up at the line of scrimmage. And so to hear that your defensive line is getting some pressure and wrecking some havoc and that you like where your linebackers are at, for Bray, who you know is taking a more concerted effort to improve that side of the ball and calling the plays, that's at least a good silver lining here on August 11th.
I mean, that's kind of the group I would say, too. I know Dexter Foster is a younger-ish player, but when you look at that depth chart, like, they've got experience.
Yep.
If he's going to say it's one of the best groups he's coached since he's been there.
They've had some good defenses in his time there.
You know, whether the line gets to the quarterback and registers more sacks this year, which I think seven total last year is just a disaster. At least maybe it makes you feel better about rush defense, that front seven's a little more shored up. So even if the defensive line isn't necessarily lights out stellar, you've got that linebacker at the next level to kind of, you know, step into those gaps and help you. If he's saying he feels that way about that group, then I think Oregon State fans should collectively just kind of breathe a sigh of relief and more focus on, okay, now the offensive line, what do they need to do to get up to par?
Our platypus segment continues with a similar theme, defense winning the day. It happened in Eugene. Is that thing pause for concern? Is that encouragement? Also, let's play Guess That Line for week one for both of these teams. A little more college football. That's next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, we're about 40 minutes away from Smelling Salts and the AP Top 25, so it'll be a big, busy final hour of the show. I wanted to punch a kid in the face this weekend. I got that in my notes today.
How about our boss poo-pooing Shador but raving about Jackson Dart? Can you do that?
Oh, we have our boss poo-pooing Shador but excited about Jackson Dart.
I watched Dart's first drive and he scored the tutty, and I text our boss, who's a giant Giants fan.
He's a
and
huge
I said,
Giants fan.
Because I was like, that's cool.
That's awesome, yeah.
He said I was on a cruise, and I was poo-pooing Shador, but raving Jackson Dart. And I'm like, I don't think you can do that.
You can't have it both ways.
They both played well. One played a little better than the other.
Preseason's preseason. None of it matters. You can't be excited that your guy plays great and then make fun of somebody else for playing great.
I wouldn't make fun of Shador. My eyebrows raised more about Jackson Dart than they did about Shador.
Is there any difference in the time of the game in which they played that should be put into the equation? Because Shador started, and Jackson Dart, I believe, played the entire second half.
I understand all of that.
If I'm not wrong.
But Jackson Dart got my attention more than Shador did.
Racist. not a believer in Jesus over there. I found that out.
I do love his last name as a quarterback. Also, I love the spelling of his first name.
Jackson with an X.
With an X. Yeah, I love that.
X going to give it to you, baby.
It makes him fun. And he's got a visor. It's all great.
The eye black that he wears, too. It's a whole thing, man.
He just looks like an NFL quarterback, doesn't he?
It's a whole thing. Defense won the day this weekend in Corvallis. Guess what, buddy? Same thing in Eugene.
Really solid first scrimmage. You know, walked away healthy, which is always a plus here in fall camp, being able to attack it. I think, you know, defense probably won the day today. Eliminated some explosive plays. Did a good job, you know, in situational defense. Overall, we're able to hit some positive kicks. Overall, protected the ball relatively well on the offensive side of the ball. But certainly a physical day and a good day. For both units.
Defense wins the day, and I love the added anecdote. They made a couple of kicks. Don't you worry about that, buddy. They were putting them through the uprights left and right. I totally forgot that Atticus Sappington is still around.
It's crazy that he's
still
eligibility.
How is that guy still playing college football?
I don't know.
I felt like he was at Oregon State for a while, and then I don't know how he still has eligibility. Dusty told me that one the other day. I was like, what? Atticus Sappington is still there?
I remember last year, Beaver fan like, oh, yeah. It's the return revenge game. And I'm like, he's a kicker. It did suck to lose him. He's a good kicker, but I'm like, he's a kicker. I couldn't care less about a kicker making his return.
His percentage went down, too. He was 93% in his last year at Oregon State, 87% last year.
Right. That's called karma.
He can't handle that pressure at big game scenarios. He didn't have any of those at Oregon State.
Trevor Romaine, you are not. Your chest pubes flying out.
Let's continue on the defense. Very excited to see what Oregon gets from their secondary. They got actually news on one of those guys I'll give you in a second. But very excited about what the DBs will look like. Here's landing on his defensive back.
Yeah, pretty good. I thought there was good communication. That's one thing that really stood out to me on defense. I thought there was really good communication. When you can get 11 guys playing the same call, you got a chance. So very few moments where there was confusion in the back end there. So overall, all solids from that standpoint.
All solids from that standpoint, man. You scared about our DBs?
I'm scared. Your whole roster is better than my roster. I think in general, I'm afraid of what the final score will be when they play in Eugene. You know, the funny takeaway I have, I think Lanning is a better quote. Bray's more kind of just direct, here it is, I'm done.
Yeah.
Lanning will give you a little more. It's kind of like preseason takes.
I mean, these are even worse than that. This is scrimmage
takes.
These
press conferences.
These are scrimmage takeaways.
Are just like, hey, what did you make of the receiver play? I thought they were great. Made some 50-50 catches, and, you know, they're great.
And Lanning makes it a point of emphasis, too, to never call out an individual player.
No.
Even for positives. He hates singling out guys. And if you specifically ask about somebody, he'll, like, give you an answer on that player for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, hey, who was a wide receiver that stood out today, he will say all of them played good.
Right.
Like, he's never going to do the one praise one guy or put in it. Like, he won't play that game.
Well, and
you.
Even when the defense, he said the defense won the day, but then he's like, I've told him at the press conferences, the offense won the day. Like, he wants you to know.
He's realizing quickly that that will be the headline. Oregon's offense struggles in first scrimmage. Is there concern about quarterback play? Speaking of which, here is Dan Lanning on Dante Moore.
I don't know that anything necessarily stood out. Like I said, I think defense won the day. Get some three and outs. But, you know, operated efficiently, but we just didn't create any explosives and didn't have some of the downfield passing attack that we've had in other days in fall camp. You know, I've come in here before and told you that the offense won the day today. You know, I feel like defense won that.
Our pets' heads are falling off. It's time to panic. Hair's on fire. The offense can't create explosive plays. Defense wins the day. Now, I mean, one listener points it out. It's so valid. Defense usually has a leg up this time of year.
To start the year, yeah.
Timing of the passing game. Like, it's different. It takes a little more practice time and fall camp time to get everybody into a certain rhythm, but he liked what he saw from his defense in the opening scrimmage, and now we just get closer and closer. Let's play the fun game of can you guess? We have our week one betting lines. Now, these are courtesy of FanDuel.
Okay. Do we actually have a line on Montana State?
We do. We have a line on Oregon, Montana State, and I mean, I have more than that, but I'm just going to use the two schools we're talking about in our Platypi segment here for 30 minutes. Can you guess the Oregon-Montana State line and the Oregon State-Cal line?
Okay, I'm going to say Oregon State-Cal.
At home, at Reser night game.
Oregon State -3.
Okay.
Although I could see Cal being favored by like 2.5.
Week one lines are fascinating to me. You have no idea what you're doing. You're just taking a shot in the dark.
I will say Oregon State -2.5. I don't think they give them the full field goal.
And then I'll take Oregon.
Wait, hold on. Let's go one at a time here. Let's go one at a time.
Okay.
Brandon Sprague. I'm not going to give you the buzzer. You don't deserve a buzzer, but I will give Swag the... it is Oregon State -2.5.
Okay.
They are 2.5-point favorite against
Cal.
Right there.
Oregon, I'm going to say, is a -39.5-point favorite.
Okay. Swag?
We'll see how much Vegas figures in the last...
The Idaho game from a year ago? Are they scared from the Idaho game?
Ducks -27.5.
Ooh, those are both very close, but I'll give you a slight buzzer there. 25.5 is your line.
Oh.
Oregon, Montana State.
Hammering the Ducks.
Are we laying the 25.5 in week one? That's the number two ranked FCS team in the country, baby. Let's put a little respect on Montana State's name.
I heard that a couple years ago when Oregon State played them at Providence. They dropped like 70 on them. So, like, cool.
I still have a little PTSD from the Idaho game, but yes, if I were a gambling man, I would be hammering that line. 25.5 seems a little low. Does it not for an FCS game?
I think if we're being honest, too, I know you want to see some of the stuff work out in week one, and that part exists.
I don't think Montana State scores a touchdown until the fourth quarter.
That game is not exciting in any way, and that's unfortunate. Is Oregon State at least has like a familiar opponent in a respected conference.
ACC team,
a former conference opponent.
You're seeing supposedly equivalent talent on both sides.
Who's Oregon's second game?
Oklahoma State.
Okay, so that gives me something. So you are 4 weeks away from a game that I care about with Oregon.
Yeah, they go Oklahoma State at home, and then they're at Northwestern in the Big Ten debut, and then the Civil War before they play Penn State.
Okay, so like, unfortunately, and I know we'll talk about it, I know we'll have tape. Did you see the third quarter, the backup quarterback? And Dirt's going to lose his mind. He's like, the third string DB's pass breakup.
That depth is there, baby. Can you believe that?
That game's not exciting to talk about.
Can you believe
it's an 18-year-old freshman. That's a 4-star. Landing's built depth.
All right. I mean, you got to have depth, don't you? Depth's really important. Right. Late in the year, you got to have healthy guys.
We're going to say that 7 touchdown passes against Montana State. Cool story, bro. Cool.
They weren't number 2 in the country at the time. I don't know if they were. Better program now. Look out for those Bobcats. They're coming for Oregon.
I'm sure they're going to be really scary.
August 30th, 1 o'clock on the Big Ten.
But to your point, we did absolutely say the same stuff about Idaho last year, and it was like, oh my God.
Oh, without a doubt.
They needed that to beat Idaho?
They almost lost Idaho in the first game of the season last year, and then went 13-0. Remember, we went the first 2 weeks of the season thinking, this team sucks. It is cratered.
I saw Duck fans
falling in on its head.
Just like, had to find our identity.
Duck fans were like, this ain't it. This team ain't built for it. It's going to be a disaster.
Yes, it was. Oregon State fans were having takeaways because they won their first 2 games of like, oh my God, we might actually win the Civil War.
I remember that was the turn point, actually. It was going to resurrect.
They figured it all out that day.
Then they played.
Dylan Gabriel had a long touchdown run. You're like, oh, okay, maybe they're going to be all right.
And then those first 2 week Duck
change
fans
the center were, up. We got Poncho back at center. They're protecting. They're running the ball now.
I don't want to name names because we follow these listeners and people who are Duck fans, but man, I could name some names. Peacock, and by the end of the year, ain't nobody beating up.
Oh, I think we should start calling them out.
Yeah, how'd you feel after week 2 when you needed a punt return for a touchdown to beat Boise State and damn near lost to Idaho in week 1, you know? Not a great start to the year. To your point, Oregon, I will hammer that 25.5. Like, if I find myself at a casino anytime in the next 2 weeks, which probably won't happen.
I think that defense is good.
But if I do, I would gamble that. I think that is a reaction to, one, a lot of new faces, but two, the game that happened last year to open the year of, like, I'm sure Oregon was a 40-point favorite against Idaho, and we all probably took them at Pac-12 picks of, like, let's take the lines here.
Yeah, sure. Score a game.
So I would hammer that. But Oregon 25.5-point favorite against Montana State. Oregon State, a slight favorite at home over Cal to open up. Week 1 is right around the corner. Let's stick in college football. Do we like the confidence of this player? We'll get to that. Also, coaches talking about comebacks. All that comes. Keep getting questions. No YouTube today. We'll let you know if anything changes, but we're 2 hours and 35 minutes into the show, so probably not going to happen today.
He'll be ready to go by 10 a.m.
More than likely will, and hopefully back tomorrow. Jake's in there. He had to come. Today's his day to cut up video, and we're like, dude, we got nothing for you.
He's cutting up other shows. I'm watching.
That's all he can do. There's nothing from our show today, so he's got nothing to cut up. Let's talk about the confidence of an athlete. Confidence in athletes can be a very interesting thing, right? Like, there's cocky confidence that can go too far for people that you start to root against. There's an underdog confidence that I think some people can be attracted to. I'm wondering where this player falls on the pantheon of your rooting interest this upcoming season. Have you watched any more of the SEC football documentary on Netflix?
No, I was so upset by the episode the of one Mississippi you State and Mississippi and Texas A&M not having Sark and Lane in it that I was like, I'm out.
So the upset one of Vanderbilt beating Alabama was a really good episode. I think that was the second or third episode in there.
Yeah.
And they do. There's not a lot on Alabama side of it. I'm sure there's more Alabama features in other parts of the documentary. It's mainly a Vanderbilt buildup and where we're at, where we're trying to go and all that.
Sure.
And some Sam Pittman, because remember that same day Arkansas beat Tennessee and Nico ran out of bounds as the clock expired, didn't throw the ball towards the end zone. Remember that upset game?
Yeah.
They had the timer number 4. That one was a really good episode, but really it centers around Diego Pavia, who is a interesting character, to say the least. Undersized quarterback, nobody gave him a chance coming out of high school, goes to a junior college in the New Mexico State, finds himself at Vanderbilt. He was on with Paul Feinbaum last week, and Feinbaum asked him, like, so you guys, you know, kind of broke through, won some games last year. What are the expectations going into this year?
Offense and defensively, to go really put our foot forward and go win the national championship.
I'm not trying to act like I didn't hear what you said. I did. But you're deadly serious, right?
Yeah, I wasn't cracking the joke. That's the standard.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you national championship. That takes a great deal. I feel like I'm just having a little fun with you here, but that's quite a statement. And by the way, I've heard your coach say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean NIL, even the playing field. You know what I mean? For a lot of teams, and we feel like we got offensively and defensively our A game versus, you know, anyone's. Like, I like my team. You ask me who the best wide receiver in the country is, I'm going to tell you someone on my team. You ask me who the best O lineman is, I'm going to tell you someone on my team. Same thing with safeties, DBs, everything.
And best quarterback, would that be you?
You're looking at him.
Landy is my daddy.
Do we like the confidence of Diego Pavia? Do we roll our eyes at it? How do we feel about this cat and his confidence?
Is it possible to roll my eyes but also say, like, yeah, you probably should be confident?
I think that's a fair response to it.
SEC quarterback. I kind of just wonder too, what were they, 6-6 last year?
They went 6-6 last year. They were 6-3 at one point and lost their last. They played South Carolina, LSU, Tennessee in the last 3 weeks of the year and lost all of them.
I'm not going to act like that Bama game, they blew Bama out. That game was kind of tight and Bama didn't play well at all. Like, if you lose that and you're 5-7, are we getting this noise?
Bama was coming off the hangover of the Georgia win. I believe that was the very next week.
It was the very next week. It was shocking.
And yeah. Vanderbilt was off of a bye. Vanderbilt had a bye that week of the Georgia game and they went all in for that one.
You know, he's such a fun story. And
he is so tiny, dude. When you watch the documentary, I knew he was small.
Yeah.
There's a scene of him standing in his kitchen with one of his wide receivers.
And he's just getting
like,
dwarfed.
Dude, I'm legitimate. It looks like he's like, I root for him because he's a short king. And shout out to my other short kings out there. He's like belly button height, it feels like, of one of his wide receivers.
He's listed at 6 foot.
Zero chance in any reality that that guy's at 6 foot. Funny note from Dan Lanning, who brought that up the other day, who openly in one of his post practice interview scrums admitted to lying on their program about playing. Height and weight.
Well, yeah, height is
not. He was like, we put whatever we want in there, so don't take too much. Because somebody asked him about the weight gain or loss of one player, and he was like, we just put whatever we want there.
Joe Fish did this on Friday. He claims he's 6 foot.
I am exactly 72 inches.
Humble brag.
Well, I'm just, me and Swag are about the same, and I'm taller than Joe Fisher.
Tall. Exactly.
And is Joe Fisher smaller than you?
Yes. He's shorter than us. Yeah.
Everybody who's taller than
me, I
just
assume
is 6 foot.
He says, I got it once at the doctor, so I say that I am. And I'm like,
were you wearing shoes? Did you have platforms
on?
Well,
some of those doctors don't care anymore if you have shoes on. So, yeah, some people are wearing shoes when they get their height.
You heighten a little bit. You want it to look better on your driver's license?
A little bit, yeah. People do that with weight, we know. But, I'm not shocked that he's smaller. 20 touchdowns, 4 picks, 2,200 total yards.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good quarterback last year. He was big in big moments in that Alabama game,
especially.
Well,
and if you are Vanderbilt and you are trying to overcome decades of irrelevance,
is this the way to do it, though?
Like, a leader that has some sort of fake bravado.
He's putting a target on
that. That's my whole thing. This was the problem that I thought Deion ran into in year one that he wasn't expecting. Nobody cared about playing Colorado until Deion got there.
This dude's going to bark at people like Baker did pregame.
Yes, and like, are you good enough to back that up as a team? That's the question. Like, you're not catching anybody off guard this year. You're not
South Carolina week three.
You're not flying under the radar of people, dude. Like, he's come out with multiple interviews. He was on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast, and he said, we're going to run the state of Tennessee this year.
Wow.
They got to go to Neyland Stadium
at the end of the year.
The last game of the season.
They're at Texas.
Yes.
They have LSU at home. They're at Alabama. don't think Alabama's licking their chops on that payback?
Looking for a little redemption for what happened. So I love the bravado. I love the confidence. I do, especially from a small quarterback. Like, why the hell not? But also, dude, you're cashing some checks that I'm not quite sure, or you're writing some checks that I'm not sure you're going to be able to cash.
But let me ask you this, though. We're not Vanderbilt fans, but if you're a fan of a program of like that, wouldn't you rather have this dismissed and disregarded and not talked about? You can say whatever you want about these people who draw attention to themselves or a team. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns preseason football game today.
Yes,
we're talking about Vanderbilt football today.
Yes, we are.
So if I'm a Vanderbilt alum, I'm proud of my school. We're a baseball program. We're okay in hoops. My football team's kind of relevant because of this dude.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, we might get our asses handed to us in a few of these games. But they also play Georgia State, Utah State,
Vatech. They lost to Georgia State last year, by the way.
Okay, so there you go. Charles Southerton. Like, they've got some games. Missouri's on that schedule. Auburn's on that schedule. Kentucky. You go 7-5, that's a good year for us.
That's the funny thing is that there's a balance of them having a bowl-eligible season last year was a nice step for the program. I also think we
are incredibly overinflating of what they did last year.
I do too.
Can both things be true? Nice. You beat Alabama. It was a great win. You went bowl eligible. You almost knocked off Texas at home. Remember, they were in that game for large parts of it. I think they ended up scoring a late touchdown, only lose by three. Like, they hung with Texas later in the season, and they did the same thing with LSU on the road, and the Tennessee game was kind of back and forth. So they were like, they were competitive for the first time. They also lost to Georgia Southern. They lost to Missouri, who wasn't great, especially at the end of the year. They went 6-6. Like, there's a little bit of balance here in the way we view them. I don't think your take is wrong, though, on if I'm a Vanderbilt fan who's just looking for any sort of life and hope. Diego Pavia is the exact anecdote for that. I would just say tread lightly of putting a target on your back, because that's all he has spent the offseason doing. Now, he feels like he can go cash those checks, but I have a hard time seeing the talent gap close that significantly between you and the rest of the SEC because of NIL. I'm not saying Vanderbilt can't get there. They got money to spend. They're improving their facilities. I do think the NIL era has evened the playing field at the top of the sport. You don't get these teams just hoarding these super teams. But I don't know if Vanderbilt, they lost to Georgia State and went 6-6 last year. I think they're still a ways away from that.
So just in the portal rankings on 24/7, they're 36th.
Yeah.
They're behind Oklahoma State. They're behind Maryland, Louisville.
So what are we talking about it even in the playing field? Wasn't like you just went in and had some home run transfer class with all the best players in the country.
Yeah, and their average recruit rating was an 86.5, which again is behind all these other schools.
Their coach is a very easy guy, Clark Lee. In that documentary, I didn't know that he played at Vanderbilt, and he's a legacy, and like his dream his entire life, growing up a Vanderbilt fan, is to like build this into something that isn't a laughingstock. So there's a lot to root for there. Interesting team to watch going into the year. You mentioned they play South Carolina week two,
week three. They start out with
you get a big game right out of the gate.
Charleston Southern, then you're at Va Tech.
That's not an easy game,
and then you're at South Carolina.
Yeah. We'll see that. It's an interesting opening weekend or a couple of weeks for Vanderbilt.
Dude, they have Bama, LSU, Missouri, Texas all in a row.
And that's not even saying anything about what Tennessee's going to be this year, Auburn, who has added a quarterback upgrade, and Missouri. People think Missouri might be a top 15, borderline top 10 team this year.
And we'll see if Stoops can do anything to save himself at Kentucky.
So Vanderbilt's got confidence. Diego Pavia says we're here to compete for championships. Let's talk about comebacks. Which one do you put more stock in? If your program was looking for a coach, which would you feel better of if they hired? We'll get to that coming up next. Smelling salts in the AP poll at the top of the hour. Back after this on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Biggest miss not being on YouTube is maybe the smelling salts top of the hour, but also not being able to see us jam out to the Backstreet Boys. It's a cut.
They're tearing up the Sphere right now, man. I've seen people post about going to the Sphere to see the BSB.
They're big, man. They're big and they're back. The Backstreet Boys.
My wife doesn't like them. She's an NSYNC person. That's where
still holding true to that rivalry, huh?
I am too.
Years later.
That's our divide in our relationship.
That's the split right there. If you guys divorce, that will be the causation of it, huh? NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys?
I always believe that people have a favorite between something.
You have to. Coke, Pepsi.
Everything.
Name it.
Duracell, Energizer, you know what I mean? You have one. Now, sometimes you pick random ones.
Doesn't mean you don't ever use the other.
Pizza Hut, Domino's, you have one that you pick over the other.
Backstreet Boys blows out NSYNC 10 times out of 10.
I tend to agree with that.
It's not even close. It's not even a debate.
I tend to agree with that.
One star and NSYNC carried them. The Backstreet Boys were a team. They were a true team, not just a star player carrying everybody on his back.
Is it weird that I'm super nervous to do this smelling salt?
Smelling salt's coming up in a moment.
Oh.
Woo! Let's ask this fun question, because two different coaches were in the news this weekend, both of them wanting another opportunity.
Okay.
So play the fun game out. Well, this wouldn't be a fun game, but let's just play this scenario out. If you're an Oregon fan out there listening, Andy Reid walks off, wins the Super Bowl again with Patrick Mahomes, and says, you know what? I'm retiring.
Yeah.
Look at that career. I'm all done. Mm-hmm. Kansas City says, you know what we need? We need young energy in here. We want a guy who wants to be the Kansas City Chiefs head coach. They hire Dan Lanning to be their next head coach.
Right.
Or vice versa with Oregon State. Bray, great year. Leaves, bad year. Gets fired. Either way, you want to play it out. I didn't want to be too rude there. You get my point. Coaching vacancies at either program. I give you two candidates to hire. That's all you can choose from.
I'm not going to like these options.
You don't get to choose from the full pool. You get two choices. Your two choices are John Gruden, who had a quote over the weekend saying, I'm being honest with you, and I don't BS either. I want to coach again. I'd die to coach in the SEC. I would love it. I would bleeping love it. Knock on wood if you're with me.
Mm.
Or Jimbo Fisher,
Jimbo.
Who also is itching for a return. He said, I would be very interested in still doing it because I think I've still got a lot to give and I'd like to get back out there. I really would. You got two choices, John Gruden or Jimbo Fisher. Who are you hiring?
Fold up your program.
Just go home.
If I took Gruden, it tells me I'm in the SEC suddenly. The Pac-12
well, maybe
died.
The SEC doesn't come calling. Maybe nobody's hiring him in the SEC. He's got to start somewhere else.
Can we just be honest out the front of this and say it's very uncomfortable for obvious reasons?
Very uncomfortable.
Give me Gruden, though.
I
don't even know if it's a debate. Like, this is a pretty easy one for me to answer.
Look, I
want nothing to do with Jimbo Fisher at this point.
Sidestepping
I thought you
the obvious.
Said Jeff Fisher. That's what I was thinking.
Well, would you take Jeff Fisher or Jimbo Fisher?
John
Gruden. Take Jeff Fisher over Jimbo Fisher.
Would you as a college program?
Yes.
Really?
Jimbo railroaded Florida State into the gutter and we didn't know it. Then he left for A&M and just underperformed. Every year.
He did.
And by all accounts, like, kind of checked out.
At a place with resources, and he recruited at a high level because of those resources.
If Elko goes to the playoff this year after coming one game away from doing it last year, it's going to be like, Jimbo absolutely quit.
He was a game away from going to the SEC title game, if I'm not wrong.
In the Texas game.
And then they lost the last game of the year to Texas.
I'm going Gruden, and I know Gruden isn't largely a college guy.
I want him back in our lives so bad.
He is. You can go consume his content if you need him that bad in your life.
I want coaching John Gruden. There's a difference. Coaching John
Gruden. I don't know, man. Do you watch those videos? I think it's coaching John Gruden without a team.
The only videos of John Gruden I see are him unboxing gear that college teams are sending him. That's all the John Gruden content.
My college gave him a box of free gear because he was complimentary of Oregon State one time.
So did mine.
But then I get emails from my college. Hey, we heard you weren't great about Bray on the radio this morning.
Well, where's my box of stuff?
Give me a box of stuff. I'll be a little bit nicer to you. How about that?
I'm a spider two wide banana like anybody else.
Would John Gruden, if he was hired as your football coach in college, inspire hope? Would that feel like a last, like, oh, God, we're out of options?
Yeah,
like,
it feels a little, you're going for the headlines, desperate.
Herm Edwards type hiring,
kind of? Yeah, there's a little bit to that.
Would he be successful?
I don't know. And I think people that claim that yes or no to that, like, you don't know.
No, we have no idea.
It wasn't amazing and stellar in Vegas.
Gruden, no.
Was Gruden always in the NFL, or did he spend any time?
There was a rumor.
I think he started at Tennessee, didn't he?
Yeah, okay. I think for a brief moment, I think the vast majority of his career was spent in the NFL. There was he was rumored for the Tennessee job a couple of years ago.
Recruiting is vastly different from 10,
he was a Tennessee grad assistant. Then he went to Missouri State, Pacific, and then he got into the NFL in 1990 with the Niners.
He'd been in the NFL from 1990 until
that would be the biggest question. 21. Is can he orchestrate?
Dude, he was in the 80s. He doesn't...
A recruiting machine.
He needs NIL to be right. He needs the right staff around
That's what I'm saying. Like,
him.
If you put him in a job
you'd have
where,
to have
like...
A, you'd have to have a really strong GM now at the college level.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, who are programs that could fire their coach? Like, he says he wants to be in the SEC.
Kentucky's
got money to spend.
Florida?
If Auburn fired Hugh Freeze, if they hit the skids again this year?
Auburn definitely would hire John Gruden. They'd love it.
Florida's got to hire Jed Fish. We all know that. Arkansas probably going to fire Sam Pittman.
Arkansas would do it.
They got Walmart money down there.
Yeah. You could see him doing the woo pig suey thing, too, at a press conference, right?
Knock on wood if you're with me. Yeah. I am with you, John.
Okay, Auburn, Arkansas, or Kentucky. Which one of those three is most likely in your mind?
I think Arkansas would write the biggest check.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you there.
And John still likes.
He's more likely, I think, to get another gig as a head coach and probably in college than Jimbo.
Without a doubt. Jimbo had resources and was at a place where he was set up to succeed and failed miserably.
Like, badly.
Like, horribly.
Yeah.
And with Gruden, at least there's the unknown of how would he do as a college coach? Like, you could kind of build it up in your mind of him being better than maybe what you thought. So both coaches say they want another crack at it. Who would you rather have, John Gruden or Jimbo Fisher? We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the program. For some people, that's not a great scenario to think about. We're going to have our smelling salts kick off. We got the AP poll coming up. I got baseball stuff in my notes. We had our first female home plate umpire in the history of the sport this weekend.
Cool moment. Also, like,
she blew the first call.
Well, but like horribly. The other sports did this years ago.
Yeah, what took you so long, baseball? Also, that's a tough highlight to have be the first pitch for a female home plate umpire.
Something tells me that was orchestrated.
That was like 4 inches off the
call
plate.
Call out a strike.
I think it was. I think it was talked about. Like,
come on, man,
they're gonna throw a fastball down.
Taking the baseball. It's going to the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a strike.
And I wanted to punch a little kid in the face. Where are we gonna go? I don't know. But we got a loaded final hour, starting with smelling salts. Next, 105.1 FM, the Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.